Good afternoon. My name is Damien Goudgata. I'm a scientific curator for FlyBase, the online biological database dedicated to the model organism Drosophila melanogaster. Today, I will talk about the Ontology Development Kits, or ODK, a software toolkit intended to facilitate the creation and maintenance of biomedical ontologies and to promote standardization efforts across such ontologies. So let me start with a quick introduction to ontologies in general and the Hobo Foundry ontologies in particular. So what's an ontology? Apologies to those of you who are already familiar with the concept, but for the others, an ontology, in the computer science meaning of the term, is basically a representation of a domain of knowledge in such a way that it can be manipulated by a computer. It is a set of concepts, also known as classes or terms, linked together by relationships that are themselves defined in the ontology. For developers out there, it is somewhat akin to a class hierarchy in object-oriented development, except that the relationships between classes are not limited to only inheritance and composition, but can be anything you need to accurately describe your domain. You have here an excerpt from the Drosophila Anatomy Ontology, an ontology that tries to describe the anatomy of the fruit fly Drosophila melanogaster, where the concept of a fly wing is described by relationships with several other concepts of fly anatomy. You have, for example, an inheritance relationship with the concept of multicellular structure. So a wing is a multicellular structure. You have a composition relationship with the concept of thorax. So a wing is part of the fly thorax, or the thorax has wings. And you also have a biology-specific relationship with the concept of wing disc, which indicates that an adult fly's wing is formed from a particular piece of the larva called the wing disc. Ontologies are used in many fields, but here I will talk specifically about ontologies used in biological and medical research. One of the first and most important biomedical ontologies was the Gene Ontology, created in 1988. At the time, progress in molecular biology and sequencing meant that we were accumulating a lot of knowledge about genes, what a given gene does, which biological processes it is involved in, or which parts of a cell its product is found in. This accumulation of knowledge created the need to have a way to store that knowledge in a database, and this is what the Gene Ontology was designed to do. In the following years, several other ontologies were created on the model of the Gene Ontology, and this led to the formation of the Open Bioontologies Foundry in 2002. That's a group of ontology developers agreeing on a set of principles to follow in order to facilitate interoperability across ontologies. Those principles are illustrated here. I won't go over them in details, but they include, for example, the availability under a free license, the use of common file formats, a standardized way of creating class identifiers, the use of version releases, etc. The Hobo Foundry currently counts more than 200 ontologies covering a wide range of domains of life sciences. Ontology development has some similarities with software development. However, while software developers have, over the years, established some good practices of software engineering, this is not quite true yet of ontology developers. And one of the aims of the Hobo Foundry is to establish and promote good practices of ontology development based on similar practices that are now commonplace in software development. This includes, for example, the use of hosted version control, so that the development history of an ontology is publicly available instead of being only found on the developer's own computer. A clear distinction between source files that are manipulated directly by ontology developers and the release artifacts. The reuse of existing ontologies whenever possible. The use of a standard suite of quality control checks and unit tests, integrated with the hosted version control system to allow for continuous integration, and the use of automated workflows to pilot all activities such as the production of the release artifacts and the running of the test suite. The aim of the ontology development kit that I will now present is to facilitate the adoption of these practices by doing two things. providing a standard set of software tools, and providing standard workflows for using those tools. So let's see how the ODK accomplishes the first bit. So here are the main ontology-related tools or set of tools that we need to provide to ontology developers. Robot and OWL tools are Java library and command line tools dedicated to the manipulation of ontologies. Robot is one of our main tools. Most of the workflows we'd like to standardize use this tool. Incidentally, Robot stands for Robot is an OBO tool, which tells you that one of the first things ontologists learn from free software developers is the use of recursive acronyms. Some of the other tools we need include, for example, Apache Jena, a Java library to manipulate RDF graphs, which are a way to represent ontologies. Conclude, a reasoner that is used to produce inferred axioms from the explicitly declared axiom in an ontology. SparkQL Prog, a SparkQL query engine, and a bunch of Python modules, including, for example, the scientific Python stack. Lastly, we also need a standard set of command line tools to deal with version control, automatization, and fetching stuff from the internet. So that's quite a diverse set of tools, which are using diverse technologies. And depending on the technology used, installing those tools on a given machine under a given system may be more or less complicated. Most Java programs should not be much of a problem as long as a JRE is installed. It's mostly a case of putting jar files somewhere on the system and setting up a launcher script that can be called from the path. However, programs in compiled languages such as C++ or Rust can be trickier depending on your system and your architecture. You might actually need to compile them from source if no pre-compiled binaries for your architecture are available. Python modules can normally be installed easily with pip, but some of them contain a C or C++ core that again may require compilation if no binary wheels are available for your architecture. Finally, tools such as Git, Make, or rsync should be readily available on any GNU Linux distribution, but could be more difficult to get on a Windows system, for example. So, wouldn't it be nice if we could just tell new ontology developers, welcome to your new job, open a terminal, type apt-get install ontology essential, and you're good to go. This is what we would like to do. We have not actually made it as simple as installing a single meta package, but we achieved what I think is the closest we could get to that. So, actually, a Debian meta package would not have fulfilled our needs because we need a solution that works across operating systems. At the very least, it has to work on GNU Linux. It absolutely has to work on macOS because many ontology editors are using this system, whether they want it or not. And it should also work on Windows, which is used by some editors. Importantly, we also need a solution that works across computer architectures. At the very least, it has to work on Intel x86, obviously, but it also absolutely has to work on ARM64. This is because, as I've said, many ontology developers use macOS, and many new Apple computers sold since the last year are no longer powered by Intel CPUs, but by Apple-made M1 CPUs instead, which use the ARM64 architecture. In theory, there's an emulation layer in place to allow an M1 CPU to run binaries targeting the x86 architecture, but Apple marketing notwithstanding, it does not always work. So the solution we came up with for now is to rely on Docker. The Ontology Development Kit takes the form of a Docker image called obo-library/odk-full, built on top of Ubuntu and with all the tools we need pre-installed. New Ontology editors then need to first install Docker itself. On macOS and Windows, they just need to download and install Docker Desktop from docker.com. GNU Linux users have several options depending on which distribution they use and whether pre-built packages are available, either from the distribution itself or from Docker. With Docker installed and running, Users can then get the ODK proper by fetching the OBO library slash ODK full image from the Docker Hub. And from then, they can invoke any of the tools provided by the ODK by starting a container on the ODK image and bind the directory containing the ontology they are working on to a directory inside the container. The call to Docker run is a little bit more cumbersome than we would like, but we also provide a small script to wrap that call so that an ODK tool can be invoked more easily. We actually provide two distinct Docker images for different usage. The first one is OBO library slash ODK Lite. It is a relatively small image containing mostly on top of Ubuntu a Java runtime environment, the standard development tools, and the three main Java programs of the ODK. It also contains the ODK Py script, which is used to set up the standard workflows that I'll describe later. This Lite image is intended to be enough for the day-to-day editing of most ontologies. The second image is ODK Full. It is built on top of ODK Lite and contains, in addition, all the other programs and libraries that we have seen before. That image is intended for less frequent tasks or for more complex ontologies involving more complex steps in their workflows. So now that we have a way to give ontology editors all the tools they need, how can we help standardizing the workflows that they have to use? One of the things the ODK does is to facilitate the creation of a new ontology. With a single command, the ontology editor can initialize a new repository that will be automatically populated from a template that we provide. Here, for example, I create a new ontology of shiny things that I will call the shiny ontology in the following slides. The newly created repository will follow the standard repository structure that we are trying to promote and that is loosely inspired from the convention over configuration model that is used, for example, by Maven in the Java world. The idea is that all ontology repositories should share a common structure so that no matter which ontology you are working on, you will always know where to find the files you need. The root folder of the repository will contain the release artifacts, some help files intended for the consumers of the ontology, and a SRC folder which will contain all the source files from which the ontology is built. That SRC folder is itself organized in several subfolders for each kind of source files. For example, the script folder is intended to contain all kinds of helper scripts that are not part of the actual ontology, but that are used at some point to build or manage the ontology. Some of the scripts will be automatically provided by the ODK when the repository is initialized, and ontology developers can also add their own scripts in there as well to fulfill their custom needs. We also have some filename conventions in place. For example, SparkQL files intended to be used as part of the quality control process are expected to have a name ending with violation, whereas SparkQL files intended to be used as part of the build process are expected to have a name starting with construct. Within that SRC folder, the SRC ontology folder is the one that will contain the actual ontology source files. And the most important file in that folder will be the edit file, which is the file that the ontology editors will actually edit to add, remove, or modify terms in the ontology. That folder will also contain a standard makefile, which will contain all the standard rules needed to build, maintain, and test the ontology. And this is the main component of our efforts to promote standardized workflows. Indeed, that ODK-generated standard makefiles will always contain the same standard rules, and this will have mainly two benefits. For ontology editors, this will make it easier to find their way in a new ontology. No matter which ODK-managed ontology they are working on, They know that they will always be able to invoke, for example, a all-main rule to build the ontology, or a test rule to run the predefined quality control suite. For the Hobo Foundry community, the benefit will be that this will ensure that all ODK-managed ontologies are built using the same processes, thereby reinforcing consistency across Hobo ontologies. However, we also recognize that some ontologies may have specific needs and require adapted workflows, so the last thing the standard makefile does is always to include a customized makefile if it exists. Rules defined in this customized makefile will override anything defined in the standard makefile provided by the ODK. So here we are trying to strike a balance between promoting standardization while at the same time allowing for flexibility. One of the main benefits of the ODK is the standardization of the release artifacts. A built ontology can take several forms, for example, depending on whether you run a reasoner to infer logical axioms or not. And with manually managed ontologies, it can be difficult to know what form you are getting. With an ODK managed ontology, you will know that, for example, a release file with a name ending with dash base will always be a form in which no foreign ontology has been imported and no reasoning step has been performed. That is, this is a version of the ontology that will contain only the native axioms and only the explicitly declared axioms. By contrast, when the dash full release file is built, declared imports are processed and a reasoner is run, so that the resulting file contains both native axioms and axioms imported from foreign ontologies, and both explicitly declared axioms and logically inferred axioms. This is the most complete form of the ontology. Those two artifacts, base and full, are the most used, and their generation is enabled by default in the ODK, but we also allow the generation of slightly less standard artifacts, such as non-classified, which is a form in which imports are processed but no reasoner is run, or simple, which is kind of the opposite, in that no imports are processed, but logical axioms are inferred if possible. The last two kinds of artifacts are mostly there for historical reasons. They are still supported by the ODK, but should be avoided unless you know that you absolutely need them. So, with the standard repository structure and the standard workflows provided by the ODK, we can define up to three roles that we can assign to people working on ODK-managed ontologies. The ontology editor or curator is the one who actually edits the contents of the ontology to add or update terms. That person will only have to deal with the edit file and can ignore everything else in the repository. But importantly, that person will also be able to perform releases. This is a design goal of the ODK. We want the release process to be accessible enough that it can be used by any ontology editor without requiring the intervention of an expert in ontology workflows. The ontology engineer, who in general is also an ontology curator, is the one who will also, in addition to the day-to-day editing of the ontology, create or update the patterns and SparkQL files to be used as part of the build process or the quality control process. And lastly, the ontology pipeline developer is the one who will be in charge of adapting the standard workflows if needed to suit the specific needs of the ontologies by overriding the standard rules in the custom makefile or adding specific helper scripts. Importantly, and whenever possible, the pipeline developer will be expected to try to generalize its work so that it can be added directly to the ODK. So that if a common problem is solved once in an ontology, in one ontology, the solution can benefit to all other ODK-managed ontologies. And I will stop here and thank you for your attention.